Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
Booty Booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the Booty Booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
Booty Booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Until afterwards.
Oh.
So I'd give it a good old scratch before you started.
Could everyone scratch while we're doing? Jimmy looks like he's at going to give a lecture.
No, Jimmy, your mic. Your mic.
Oh. I'm scratching mine with two hands.
So funny.
juvenile humor. Funny dubs. That's a note. What do you say?
I said I capped it. I think
you capped it. I don't understand that.
Capped it. No?
Okay. Anyone understand that?
No.
Okay.
No, but can you explain?
Can imagine.
They don't want to.
Okay. No, Dubs was just on the dark web mentioning how yesterday you had Mariam on broadcast. By the way, I haven't heard it yet.
Of course you haven't.
You know what? I don't like this
sure
attitude
it is,
towards
Dave
you. I always listen to your broadcast. I always do. You know I do. I listen to all these bloody podcasts back again afterwards. Don't know why, but I do, and I will. But great response from it. But Mariam was writing to you. She scores bangers, by the way. Saying that her prof is actually, I wouldn't say a fan necessarily. Maybe he is, or she is. But they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, regular listener.
Which just says it all, that some intelligent people do listen to us. For an escape, I assume.
Yeah, that's right.
100% it is.
To see how the other half live.
Yeah, just to
they're,
see
they're
how.
Not, they're not listening to educate themselves.
I listen
to feel like common people like us.
At times, though, I think we can provide insight. And I think we're going to do that again. Provide insight, that is.
It's just not going to be today.
No, because this is a foundational episode, right? We have got more plans coming up, including, you know, more interviews. We're going to hit the serious topics as well. But this is the essence of Footy Prime is this. But we're just very happy that people from all sorts of career paths, stations in life, listen to us. There's got to be some criminals out there as well, I would think. People in jail, maybe. Anyone in jail? They must have access to podcasts, right?
Mm.
They do. You know that for a fact?
I don't know anything. I was just, it led me to the next question. Who's been in a police car or who's been in jail? Who has been? Okay, we're going to start with police car.
My brother's a police officer.
No, that doesn't count.
So I've been in a police car many times.
No.
Who's
been arrested or at least thrown in the back of a police car?
Or for Jimmy, how many times have you been arrested or thrown in the back of a police car? Jimmy, you're smiling.
Yes, I have been in the back of a police car.
Public urination? What was it?
No, it was a long story. It wasn't.
We're here.
And I'll tell you now, I'll tell you one thing. They're not comfortable in the back of those police cars.
No, they're tight back there. Yeah. They're for 5'6" guys. Craig would have a shit. Oh, yeah. They keep it tight back there.
Is that by design?
I think so. It's so you can't, if you're sitting, it's so you can't really push, like you're kind of squeezed in, so you can't kick out windows as easily, all that kind of stuff.
Like stirrups for childbirth.
When you break the law, comfort is the last thing on the list. Hmm.
Jimmy, what was your long story?
No.
We're on Footy Prime. Was it anything bad?
Can't be good, can it?
Yeah, it wasn't great, no.
You could give us like the Coles Notes version.
No, yeah. Not giving you any notes. But I was in the back of a car before.
All right.
Okay, we got to get this out of him at some point. We need some story.
Point. Yeah. Yeah. If anyone knows the story, just tell us and then we'll have you on for an interview.
Craig, have you? You wouldn't fit back there, would you?
No. I was kind of thrown in the back. When I was younger at Ipswich, we got a ride home from a Footy Prime fan, actually, in England, in Ipswich, Richard Garrett. And we were coming back from a club. I wasn't drinking. And I don't think Richard was either. He might have had one or two, but a police van pulls up behind us to pull us over. Like, uh-oh. I was with another buddy, Scott Coulter from Coquitlam, who was over for watching some games. And Richard decides, you know, this van police car is probably not going to catch me. So he decides to gear down and take off. So we're fucking driving through Ipswich and he's dodging this van. And he was right. He outpaced the van. Trouble is, about 10 minutes later, we turn a corner and there was like 15 police cars.
He tried to outrun a police car, a police van.
Yeah, which he did. But later they trapped us.
Was he charged?
I shit myself because I was like, oh, what's the club going to say? I'm in the back of this car and blah, blah, blah. And Scott Coulter was hammered and he was telling the guy his address. It was like 265 Harrison Avenue, Coquitlam. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Next.
So what happened though? I mean, that's pretty serious, right? Evading.
Well, it was serious for Richard, but I think in the end of it, he got away with just a ticket of some sort, but he wasn't drinking and driving.
Richard was actually on social telling us that there are many people that dislike Craig and he's happy to regale some stories from Ipswich.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows a lot.
I don't believe it either, but hey, Richard Garrett, he seems pretty sure about it. He would know. He knew Craig in his pomp back in the 1980s and 90s. Dubs, have you been arrested?
Mm-hmm. No.
Dubs, no?
No, never been arrested.
JC?
Yes.
Can you tell us a story?
No. Well,
still in court?
It's nothing like bad. Well, is it?
Well, you got arrested.
I got arrested, but I got let go. Like I was in the car, but I got let go because my grandpa was a senior officer in London, and I'd done something just stupid.
What did you do?
You weren't naked outside of school or something, were you?
Well, yeah.
Boy.
I mean, somewhat. But anyway, no, but I was underage also. I got taken, put in the car, and then just dumb shit.
You motioned like scruff of the neck. Did they actually do the scruff of the neck and throw you in? Into kinda, the back of the car?
Yeah.
Is this like an Arctic Monkeys video?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's what they used to call me.
The Arctic Monkey?
The Cold Baboon. Here comes Jeff Cold Baboon. Yeah.
So now you woman. The Cold Monkey. By the way, just quickly, like I've got to tell this one.
Oh, you can tell this one, can you?
No.
It's not about him.
Amado Guevara. Do you know who?
Yeah. Legendary TFC midfielder, Honduran.
Yeah. the best, right? This guy was so funny, broken English, but just you could tell he was funny. Like, if you spoke fluent Spanish, this guy would have you laughing all the time. And I remember at times he used to get so mad at Mo Johnson, and he used to call him the Mono Rojo, which was the red monkey.
There's our promo right there.
Oh, you should kill me. When I figured it out, I was dying.
Was it a looky likey? Like our Mo, it was the way Mo looked and the way he acted?
No, with JC there, when you call him the monkey, and then because he is a little bit red, and then I started saying, oh, maybe he's the cousin of the Monorojo. He's our red monkey.
Amado Guevara, Jimmy. I mean, what a player he was.
Oh, he was amazing.
Amazing. Smith.
Oh, beautiful player.
Honduras were stacked back then.
Oh, they were so good.
Yeah. I mean, Christ. Not like the easy touch they are now. No.
Yeah.
Was he, I'm trying to think, when Canada got smashed, the 8-1 game, was he on Honduras then, or was that just after his time?
I'm going to say it was just after. But
yeah, I think so. I think he was on the staff, though.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Because he played at TFC, what, around 2010, right? Was it around there? 9, 10?
8, 9.
Was it that early?
Yeah. What a player. Oh, my God. This guy just – you could give him a ball in a phone box with three players in there, and they wouldn't get it off him.
Dubs, you're so predictable, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You are.
I know exactly what's going through
your. Oh yeah, but your face said it all.
I saw it.
Was it Rouge Monkey?
The Red Monkey.
The Red Monkey. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, she's so predictable. Wonga, have you been arrested?
Yeah.
Wonga's like, I was wondering what was going to come back to me.
Actually, arrested or just thrown in the back of a police car?
Both.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I was, I think, all within the same year. I right before I went traveling around the world, I went on a kind of hiatus for a year, and right before that, I went to Queens
University. In jail.
Yeah, exactly. That's where all my hard knocks. I went to Queen's University's homecoming because one of my buddies said, hey, our friend Aaron's having a party. Let's go down. And they were really strict on drinking in public. And so
you sound perplexed.
I did go to University of Montreal where they just didn't care. Yeah. They had their, you know, other things going on. And all of a sudden I walk out the door, finishing my beer. Some cop throws me in the, like, goes, hey. And I'm like, hey. He's like, is that a beer? I'm going, yeah, it's a beer. I just finished it. I was two steps out of the house. He throws me in the back of the car, gives me a ticket. God, it kind of reminds me.
Thrown into the back of the car to be given a ticket.
Because he was a dick. Mm. Yeah. It all kind of reminds me of me and Craig. We were, there was about six of us. Six of us going to a bar downtown called Two Cats. And right around the corner, we said, hey, let's go smoke a joint. And this is pre-legalization. So we're all smoking a joint. And what happens is a couple of us have to pee. So we're peeing like against a dumpster. And all of a sudden, a cop car drives by, flashes the light in. Two cops come out. We're smoking a joint. Guys are throwing a couple joints down on the ground. They don't give us a ticket for smoking a joint or, you know, get mad at us or anything. It was about peeing on the dumpster. So I get a fucking $200 ticket while the other guys are like, I wasn't even smoking yet. So there's the number two. And then number three, my buddies and I were in a grocery store and I ate a banana. And I got caught for shoplifting.
A banana?
What?
And then I ran away and they caught me. They went back to the place I was staying and they brought me to jail. Put me in jail for an hour. I had to pay a $35 fine.
Oh, that can't be on your rap sheet. That can't be on your rap sheet.
Any more information, though? Like, did somebody buy groceries or you just were passing through the grocery store?
It was, we were going to grocery shop. And I guess they saw me eating a banana because I went into line with my buddies who had bought, you know, remember how expensive batteries were back in the day, like D batteries for boom boxes. So he was in line ready to spend $30 and I was hungry. So I ate a banana and they arrested me for shoplifting for a banana.
You could have said that you were still going to pay for it.
I could have, but I ran.
How much was a banana back then?
Probably 19 cents a pound. Yeah, probably 20 cents.
This guy gets arrested for 20 cents.
I also had some veal and some big prawn pushed down my pants. So I didn't tell him that. So about $60 worth of prawns and veal.
Not the only prawn down your pants.
That's probably why they, let you go, because you stunk. Like,
well, you see people at grocery stores all the time helping themselves to a grape here and there. It's theft.
I felt the same way. Yeah,
my mother does that. She does it every single time she goes in and she starts tasting the grapes. I'm like, Ma, you can't do that.
Well, that's the coincidence, Jimmy. The coincidence, I was in jail with your mom. She didn't tell you that.
But grocery shopping with kids, like I go in and we get like two baguettes and they've eaten almost an entire one by the time it's ready. Yeah. We're ready to go through the cash.
Yeah. Done that before as well. You have to though, because otherwise they're little shits. Yeah, you have to though. You got to feed them.
Yeah, but the problem is with the grapes, it goes on weight.
Yeah.
So when you're walking around and eating them, mm-hmm. you eat half a bag. You're not paying for what you eat.
Theft is theft, right? Yeah. And these poor grocery stores, you know, they're dying right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, I didn't think the show would start this way, actually, but it's great. I'm happy it did. So if there's any people in prison right now listening to us, let us know. And also cops. Any stories you have of well-known athletes who have been in the back of your car, especially if they play for Norwich, Nottingham Forest, Southampton, Toronto FC, Bristol City, and Canada, that'd be really great. We've got to find this story out.
Yeah.
Although I suspect it happened in England, though. But anyway, yeah, that's interesting. By the way, speaking of booze, big award on the table for our boy, Nate Ingham of Atletico Ottawa. Now, as you know, he told us all about it in the last appearance. He's a bartender in Ottawa, and he's up for top bartender. FacesMag.ca is where you can vote for Nate. Vote for him, because I'm sure he's brilliant. He hasn't served me a drink yet, but I'm sure he's great. He would never drop the drinks, would he? Safe hands. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, the CPL, these great stories of these players, they're way more interesting that the most, you know, elite league athletes. They got personalities, and Nate's a prime example of that. So I want to hear more of these kind of stories. What are these guys doing on their spare time?
If they only had a station to tell these stories on.
yeah, precisely, right? I've heard, though, on good authority, though, that they're very confident that the games will be aired somewhere, that we shouldn't be concerned about the games not being aired. Be it on a streaming platform, be it on a TV network. I don't know more than that. But they are very confident that won't be a problem for this season, which is huge.
And that's how they're going to promo it. It's out there. It's streaming on something. Go find it.
sometimes you take a step back, right, for two steps forward. So we'll see what happens and shakes out with that situation right now. But
who would actually produce these games for CPL?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. In-house, there's ways of producing games without having the truck at the stadiums. And the stadiums, the bigger stadiums, the CPL, CFL stadiums. Why are you laughing, Jimmy?
Well, with your cell phone.
Oh, with cell phone? Hey, there's great cameras nowadays, by the way. They are great cameras. No, there's ways, but the CFL stadiums have in-house technology to do such, to shoot a game well. But
that's great. Well, but there's only two teams that play in CFL stadiums.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for that.
A lot of Valor and Forge games gonna be on TV this year.
Yeah. No, we'll find out more, I'm sure, in the next few days and weeks. But obviously, the national team games are separate from that. They don't have to be mutually exclusive or inclusive, right? So we'll see what happens there.
Sharm's going back to Nate. Wong, remember when we were shopping in Kensington Market and we were in like this little kind of kitschy store? It was actually a wonderful store. I got a ring for my sister. You got a couple of things for Tass. And right next door was a...
Congratulations, Dubs. Weird, but congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know. And we were next to a cheese shop and there was like a funny sign. So I took a picture of Wonger next to it and Nate messaged me and he's like, oh, ask for Jimmy. And I was like, no, I'm vegan. And we got into a whole thing where he basically said he still liked me despite the fact that I was vegan. But he's a great guy. So go vote for Nate. I already did. But like what you're talking about, you know, out of necessity, these guys are interesting. They usually have interesting stories. They have a side hustle because they have to have a side hustle. But did you guys see that story about the Maidstone United player who was also a driver for autistic kids? I believe he was one of the scorers in that FA Cup game. And he missed the draw that happened afterwards because he had to go and drive the bus. And so it's a wonderful thing. And then like it spurs on that interest about these players because they don't have the big salaries, they don't have the big tickets, and they have to do something else in order to just survive and make ends meet. But it's a wonderful story.
Yeah, they do it for the love of it, really.
Yeah.
When you're in the sixth tier, you're not doing it for money.
No, but you're still considered a professional footballer, right? It still sounds really good at the bars and clubs when you meet girls.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they pulled that one off. I know I would have.
When you met a girl, Craig, you know, or you, Jimmy, you know, at a bar, how long into the conversation did you drop the fact that you were professional footballers? 1-2 minutes?
All depends on how it's going.
If it was going badly, you drop it.
Last effort.
It's the trump card.
but for the most part, you would never say you were everything else.
Yeah, you were wearing your shirt though, Jimmy. But you.
That's okay. Right, Brennan.
going out after the match in my full kit, boots on.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you're probably slightly offended that they haven't recognized you as a professional footballer.
No,
a little chip on your shoulder. Like, what do you mean you don't know who I am?
Listen, over there, you want to fly under the radar, big time. You never really tell people that you play football.
Yeah, but they knew.
You know what it's like. Because then if any stories come out in the paper, you're done. Then it's horrible.
Oh, like Kyle Walker.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Kyle.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice, he let it slip. the same girl. Well, you idiot.
And his wife's pregnant with their fourth, right? Mm.
That's right.
I missed the Kyle Walker story. Give me a quick recap. Cole's notes.
Well, a while back, he was caught having extramarital relations with a girl who he got pregnant. He's married to his high school sweetheart or something. He's got at that point, I don't know how many kids had kids with this girl. Anyway, so he came clean, apologized, did all the right things, and then he's just been busted again, getting the same girl pregnant again. Anyway, this is gossip bullshit, but it's all over the press over there at the moment. And that's part of the reason that there were rumors about him leaving in the offseason for, was it Bayern Munich? I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To escape the glare and the spotlight of the English tabloid press.
That promo campaign that he did that we actually played on the podcast, remember? It was the riff or the take on the Wolf of Wall Street. The I'm not leaving, is that it? Remember?
That's right.
Yeah. That's what he also played that for his wife. He's hoping it would go over well. I'm not leaving.
I just thought that Kyle wanted a dual national. So that's why he wanted to go to Bayern.
Oh, smart.
Right? Like he could knock up four other women and then he could start his own footy team. Because he's getting close now.
He's getting close. He's got six.
Himself, he only needs like three or four and he's down.
Private side team right there.
Sure. Yeah. Whole Walker side. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. And they'd be playing for England or Germany.
So you're saying there's strategy to his infidelity.
Look, I'm just saying that there's always strategy to infidelity.
Oh my God. Walk it back, Wonger. Terrible.
Footballers' Lives, eh? Remember that show, Footballers' Wives, that came out in the 90s in England?
Yeah.
Did all you footballers watch that?
No.
You didn't?
I did.
Jimmy did.
Yeah, of course he did.
Of course he did.
It was a soap opera, right, basically? And it was based around the lives of the wives of footballers, hence the name.
Sorry, was it written, scripted, or unscripted? Yeah. Like
no, scripted. It was a drama slash.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Dark comedy. It wasn't that clever. It was a soap opera, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Who's your favorite character, Jimmy?
Oh, I can't remember it though, Sharms, to be honest with you. But the tall one, the dark haired girl.
There it is. Boy.
Shall we, that's quite a good time to delve into the Munger's whale sack.
Yeah, well, there was a really good one. So I want a big shout out to our friend Ken Tabata. So Ken, remember the other day I mentioned there was someone who said it could be Craig's computer, not his bandwidth on Wi-Fi. And so Ken reached out yesterday on our Footy Prime podcast at Gmail email, and he said, Craig's new computer sounds great. I'm so chuffed. I'm the guy that asked the menstruation question. Do you remember we went down?
Yeah.
At the last Sinclair game.
That should be a t-shirt.
Yeah. It'd be a great t-shirt. At the last Sinclair game during halftime, Amy walked by the corner where I was sitting, and I nearly yelled out, I'm the menstruation guy.
But I resisted. I wish he had.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. But I resisted my Dan Wong half-Asian impulse. I thought the family sitting around me would think it was creepy, Ken. So thank you, Ken, for the IT advice. And thank you. And to your point, Ames, I think he should have yelled it out and insulted all those families around. Or
it wouldn't have been insulting.
No.
I mean, based on that email, he's one of my favorite people. I need to go follow Ken.
It may have been insulting at the last game for Sinclair with all the women's soccer fans.
No.
It would have been, I'm the menstruation guy.
It would have given Dubs an excuse to freaking talk about menstruation, and any excuse to talk about menstruation, Dubs jumps out.
I know. We were talking about blood donation earlier.
Yeah, we were. Weren't we?
Up, and I'm like, I already donate once a month, you guys.
Oh God,
that's coffee money.
By the way, people should donate blood.ca. You should do that 100%. All you Brits out there, even if you live in France, in Ireland in the 90s and 80s, you can donate now. Get there. We're going to do it as a team, aren't we? So yeah, check it out, blood.ca. Book your appointment now. It's really, really easy. No excuse not to. So please do it. The gift of life is the best gift you can give. All right, moving on. Back to the Munger's whale sack. What you got there, Munger?
There was that one I wanted to talk to Jimmy about because it wasn't a mail sack, but it was a tweet about Insigne, his former club, Forest, Nottingham Forest, and his former club, TFC, were talking about maybe bringing Insigne over on a loan to Nottingham Forest or going after him.
Where was
Did
that?
You hear this? I put it in our WhatsApp last night.
Yeah, by all accounts, they offered. There has been an offer, but he's going to stay at Toronto SC because of several million reasons why.
Yeah.
Well, Forrest just signed.
He's not going anywhere. They can't get rid of that guy. Not on the money he's on.
But even if it wasn't the money, would he be a fit there, Jimmy? Him playing well. Him playing enthusiastic football. Is that a fit for him?
A bit of a challenge.
Does he play enthusiastic football?
Well, we haven't seen it. He certainly did when he was at Napoli.
I don't know if the Premier League's going to be the right fit for him.
Why?
I just can't see it.
Noting a physicality
type of player that he is, I can't see it. How about you, Forrest? You think he could play in the Premier League?
Not now, I don't think. I think he's past it. Yeah.
Not the grind week in and week out.
Like I said, I think they need a goalkeeper. The American Turner is having a stinker.
Yeah, they're trying to get a goalkeeper. And they're, what's his name? Gio Reyna.
Yep.
He's been linked.
Yeah, they've got enough troubled attacking
players.
It's
going to happen.
It's very interesting how Richie Larea is just not in the picture whatsoever.
Now, there's something, maybe you know this, Craig. There's something with the loan deal at Vancouver. it can't be made permanent or he can't be registered just yet. There's something weird there because of the loan arrangement, right, with Forrest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, there is something weird about that because he's like a free agent in MLS, but he's still on loan. Like it's very, very strange. Not sure how that's going to affect him personally, actually, but we'll see.
Yeah, MLS rules.
I would love to see him have a shot in the Premier League.
Yeah, I would have too. I would have too. Considering they bought him, and they haven't even given him a sniff, right? I mean, he played a few games in the Championship before they got promoted, but they don't fancy him.
Even with a new manager there now, haven't given him a chance. Did you watch that game yesterday? Matt Turner. Not great against Arsenal. Arsenal win that pretty handily.
They kind of did, but Nottingham Forest defended really, really well. And if you take away both the goals they conceded, you know, they'd be in with a hunt. The problem is they're giving up these sloppy goals and potting them a goal. And Turner hasn't been performing well and doesn't bode well for them in the future. So, they're going to have to make some changes. They've been doing on a regular basis.
They got to a point, I watched most of that game, where, as you said, Nottingham Forest was really defending very, very well as a team and really frustrating Arsenal. And Gabriel Jesus, the way that he's been playing lately, he just can't seem as, to steal a line from Jimmy, can't finish his dinner. Like wide open opportunities and not converting. And then he comes down the left flank. He's almost on the byline, no angle. And he's able to score their first goal by putting it through Turner's legs. And he looks really bad on that goal. And then not convincing on the others as well. So I agree with you. He's looked really, really shaky for Forest. And it's disappointing because like the team in front of them or in front of him is doing their darndest to thwart the Arsenal attack, which is quite potent. And then you let in one like that and it's got to be so deflating.
Yeah. And then conceding so quick again, right? 7 minutes later, you concede.
Yeah.
On another giveaway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was really poor.
Mm-hmm.
Zinchenko and Ben White got into it. Do you see that at the end? Two teammates had to be separated.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't watch defenders.
Yeah. Arteta was asked about it and he goes, I love it. I love it. It just shows the standards they're setting themselves.
Yeah.
This stuff happens all the time, doesn't it? Behind closed doors and teammates. Who was Dubs? Was there one player that you would have a bit of a more than once a little issue with a teammate?
Nobody that comes to mind, but like club and national team, there were players that I would get frustrated with, but it was never to the point where it would come to blows.
No, but at least were there verbal exchanges with someone more than once? Doesn't mean that you weren't friends off the pitch, but you'd rub each other the wrong way.
Well, Rian in training all the time.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
We'd like hate one another and then have to sit in the same car, sit next to one another, shoulder to shoulder, crammed into Sinky's car on the way back to the apartments.
This is the shit that people want to hear about. So you're in Christine Sinclair's driving. Now, why would she be the driver usually? Why was that? Because she had a car.
Because she had a car. Having to arrange drivers.
She's the only one that could afford it.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty good deal, didn't she? And no wonder. What kind of car was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you do. It's German, wasn't it?
No, I'm not a car person, and my kids get on me all the time as well. I don't give a shit about cars. If it looks nice and it starts, doors work.
Put us inside that car. What, Sinky's in charge of the music, presumably?
Yep.
What kind of music is she playing?
I don't remember at the time what we were listening to, but she was usually amenable and open to suggestions.
Not talk radio.
No. No, it was usually music. Whatever would be kind of playing in the locker room was what we tended to listen to.
But who DJ'd, Ames?
It would be Sink or whoever was sitting in the front.
But I mean in the locker room, sorry.
Oh.
Who chose the music in the locker
room?
It was
usually Tank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And dance music or like ballads from the 80s? What?
No, it was usually, I would try to get like some classic rock in there and like some hip, but it was mostly kind of hip hop, rap, like what was current and what was happening. And then anybody who didn't like it was on their headphones. But I say majority of the people had a say in what was being played, but Tank was running the show.
When you got in the car with Ryan and obviously you guys had your little scuffle on the training pitch.
Yeah. Call it a cat fight. Okay, we'll call it a cat fight.
And people, you know what?
You're telling me that nobody.
We got back to the apartments and we had a pillow fight in our undies.
In your unders.
Yeah, in our undies. Yeah.
Are you telling me in the car nobody played like Rocky or tried to get things going?
No.
I would have been all over that.
No, because it was already it had been diffused because you're not getting off the pitch and immediately going into the car. You're getting ice, you're getting treatment, taking your cleats off and your boots and just you're not hopping in the car immediately. So it usually at that point we were kind of friends again. Then by the time we got into the car we were back to being buddies. But it was something stupid like a small aside game, like 4v4 with walls, or which was my favorite, or 5v5 with walls. And then it was about who got the ball. And it was my ball, or it was her ball. And then we would almost like come to blows over something really stupid like that.
It's always the people you like to kick.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So you're in the car, and is it just the three of you usually, or was it someone else?
No, we are crammed in there.
The whole team's in there.
Yeah. Like a clown car.
Yeah, and then I think a little bit later, they like rented a car for us while we were there, and then I usually drove because Ryan wasn't the best driver or like didn't like to drive, but I like to drive.
Now, were you shotgun? Who was shotgun? Was someone always shotgun?
Yeah. Well, usually it was Tiff. It was Sinky's partner.
Okay.
Who would train with us?
Were the windows open? Like, were you cranking the tunes? Like, God, just cruising down the street?
People don't want to know this,
they
James Sherman.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. These are legendary Canadian footballers. Yeah. They drive up in training to the apartment building. They want to know the dynamics inside that car.
And who farted.
Yeah, and what the farts smell like. We're usually going to get coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, we're usually pretty single-minded. And actually, there was one time we lost really big to the U.S., in the lead up, it was either in the lead up to the World Cup in 2007 or to the Olympics. And our goalkeeper coach at the time, like Evan flipped on us. We had a team meeting and it was quite embarrassing. I didn't get on the pitch, but I mean, if I'd gotten the pitch, it wouldn't have changed what the result was. But we got embarrassed. It was at least 5-0 playing somewhere in the US and they just ran us right off the pitch. And we had like a team meeting and Evan was furious. And then this goalkeeper coach reamed us out because he said we weren't focused, we weren't serious, because instead of thinking about our hydration and our recovery, we were thinking about coffee. And never in my life have I wanted to tell somebody to fuck off and not done it. And even at that, like Cara said to me after, she's like, why didn't you say anything? But I was, you know what? It's a little bit clearer to me. It was right before the Olympics. Like I could barely walk because my knee was swollen and I was trying to get back on the pitch. I didn't feel like I was in a position to be speaking out. And I felt crappy about it after because I felt like my leadership role and my seniority, I should have been more protective of the players, but I had to balance kind of my standing in the team with that. And I felt like if I'd done that, that would have been enough to push me out. So anyway, so that was difficult for me. I was probably overthinking it, but in retrospect, I probably should have said something. I could have been measured in my dissent or in my disagreement with his statement, but I couldn't at that point dial it down. My response would have been, "What the fuck are you talking about? That's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with how we performed on the pitch."
Well, looking back now, do you agree still with your sentiment, or do you understand where he was coming from?
Where he's coming from?
Mm-hmm.
No, I just think he was angry with how it had ended up, mm-hmm. And was grasping at straws and wanted to contribute to the conversation from a staff's perspective, being disappointed with the performance and looking for things to back up his statement. You but it was completely unfounded.
You should have said you should be working harder on our goalkeeper, so maybe that she would
Yeah. Yep. Hey, JC. I was like, what is that by my head? JC put a thumbs up. Did you guys see that?
No.
Do what? It again, what? JC. No, oh. We can't. It was like an air thumbs up. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Oh, look at that. That's cool.
Dubs, speaking to you, though, I think the big thing for you, if I'm speaking to you, it needs to be measured, correct? You need a conversation in that form needs to be measured. Going off, is that true? If I know you well enough to say, if he had come at it at a different way and said, you know, there's something going on, but calling people unserious sounds a little bit like succession. You know, I'm wondering... Was it about his tone or because timing, sometimes you need that, but was it tone and approach?
Yeah, it was about his tone. It was about his timing. And to me, it seemed like it was a statement more about him and making sure he had a say in what the staff, you know, like that he was doing it for, he was saying it. So the staff heard him saying it versus a message for the players that, you know, it was a little bit disingenuous. And it came out as false, and I actually lost respect for him, not because of the nature of his message, because maybe there was some truth to it, but it was the way that he was using that platform, and to me, it was using it to his advantage instead of helping the players.
When you found out that I was in jail and had was in the back of a police car, did you lose or gain respect for Wonger?
Gained respect for Wonger, yes. Lost respect for Steve Kang.
That's Chang.
No, I just remember last episode.
Oh, yeah, the new guy.
Last
the
pod, Sharps called you Steve Kang. Yeah, that's right. The second alter ego.
Craig, what is your post-game ritual as far as your dietary demands, aside from cigarettes?
Five pints.
Was it five pints? Yeah. Different era, right? When did that change for you, Craig? When did professionalism in English football kind of change dramatically, I guess, with Arsene Wenger, right, in the mid to late 90s? Did your preparation change like considerably at some point in your career?
No, I mean, I was really strict with myself. I think I said I went out once in 20 years a night before a game because I was going to be sitting on the bench and ended up coming on at halftime, and I was still half drunk, and it didn't go so well. Shaka pulled a hamstring and had to come off at halftime, and I was hanging over him in the treatment room. I was like, "Shaka, you have to keep playing, buddy." He's like, "What? I can't, big man. You gotta." I'm like, "No, I went out last night. I can't fucking see." So
how many did you concede?
Went out and let a soft one in.
Did you?
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Did your teammates know that you'd been out the night before? Was it with them?
No.
No.
No, it wasn't.
That's with Richard Garrett and your mates from Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, they're bad influence, those guys.
What about you, Jimmy? I mean, diets change, right? When you first started playing in England, did it change a lot compared to the end of your career?
Yeah. No, it did. At the beginning, I remember when I first got there after a match, we'd be on the bus and you'd stop off at the chippy and the young guys used to have to go in and get fish and chips and chicken and chips, sausage and chips. And then the other guys would go into the off license, grab beer and bring it back onto the bus. And then it was probably maybe about 5-6 years after I got there that sports science really came in and it changed everything. Like it stopped a couple of years after that. It was no more chippies, no more off license. None of that was going on.
I think they made it illegal for drinking on coaches too. So yeah. On buses.
Yeah. I remember when I first got there, it was ridiculous. It was like a crate of beer coming on. And then a friend of mine, it was funny because I used to play with him at Bristol. His name was Paul Agostino. He ended up going to 1860 Munich. And he finished the match, came on the bus with a couple of beers, right? And the manager lost it, said no drinking, not on the bus. But on every table was a pack of cigarettes. So they could all smoke on the bus, but they couldn't drink.
Wow. I know in Italian football, they encourage a glass of wine with dinner. They're fine with that. I remember watching Inter Milan were in Toronto for a friendly years ago. And I went there to had interviews lined up with Rafa Benitez and Sammy Eto'o. And neither of whom showed for their interview, by the way. Long story. but I could literally see them right there behind, like in the hotel restaurant area. They were coming down into Milan. And they're having their glasses of wine, very civilized. And I see Rafa there, and I see Eto'o there. I think it's Eto'o. And I see the media guy. I say, yeah, so I'm waiting. Like, when's the interview? Oh, no, they're very, very tired. You know, they're right now, they're napping in their rooms. Like, no, they're right fucking there. I literally, they are 15 feet away from me right there. Oh, no, too tired. Yeah. Fuckers.
It's like a bad Tinder date, eh, Sherms? You're getting sloughed off. They're right there.
I remember David Platt when I was at Forest, because obviously he played in Italy, right? And when I got to Forest, there was quite a few Italians that we had on the team. And you're right, Sherms. They all loved wine with dinner, right? But they were good with it. They understood how to have a little drink of wine and eat your dinner. And we came down one day to the team dinner, and there's bottles of wine on all the tables. And I'm going, what's the hell's going on here? And the Italians come down, little glass of wine. Well, sure enough, maybe about 40 minutes into dinner, tables start getting a little bit louder. Everybody's laughing, joking. The English guys are probably on their second bottles each. Their teeth are all black. That ended real quick. There was no more wine after that on the tables.
It's so true, isn't it? Fucking English, they can't control themselves.
No, they can't.
But they were like, what's going on here? Wine. Fucking waiter, another glass. Bring us another bottle. You know when your lips are all black?
Yeah. Usually about midnight, usually, right? It's like, oh, Jesus.
Platty came over. He was like, what the fuck is going on here? No more wine. Take all the wine off the table. Italians are all sitting there, just still on their first glass. The English guys are on their fifth.
Jesus Christ.
That's so typical, Jesus. Wonga, you got any more sackers?
I do, but I wanted to go somewhere else, and it's because yesterday Luton now are out of the bottom three with a resounding win. So it got me to thinking, who's going to be the three that are dropped, demoted? And I wanted to get a call halfway. I mean, we're a little more than halfway through the season. So right now, I'm going to give you the bottom five. Nottingham Forest is 16th. Luton Town, 17th. Press the wrong button. Everton, who's been up and down since we started, like always around there, but haven't been demoted yet. And that's in the last 4 years since I started watching and following Premier League. Everton has always been close. Burnley is 19th. Sheffield United is 20th. So who are you thinking? Jimmy, go first. Who are you thinking is dropped?
I said I have a feeling that Luton's going to survive. And I think Everton is going to go down. And keep in mind, Everton's done well as well because they were deducted 10 points earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. But I think it's their year. I think they're going to go down. With Burnley and Sheffield United.
Everton's appeal for their points deduction should be the results should be divulged next day or so. So they might get that reduced. They might gain a few points, but there's also more charges against them as well.
Mm. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
and Forest, exactly. Right? And Forest as well.
And Forest too, yeah, precisely. Yeah. What about you, Craig? What do you think?
Well, I think Burnley and Sheffield United will go down, and I still think Luton will probably go down, but just the fact they're in the hunt to stay up is actually quite an achievement for the coach Edwards and that team. That small club really is. I mean, they were really good. Brighton's in a bit of hurt. I mean, they've only won three of their last 16 games, and they were playing brilliant football, and all of a sudden they can't seem to find a win anywhere. But good for Luton, great for them, and amazing that they've got a shot, because before the season started, I didn't give them a shot at all. So
now Brighton keeps conceding that really early goal.
That's right.
In those games that they're losing, they're conceding almost immediately.
Well, there were two games yesterday, goals inside 20 seconds, right?
Yeah, in the Luton game, they scored minute.
Mm-hmm. And then Diaz scored for, I think it's for the Blades, right? Against Palace in a losing cause yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, really quick starts or slow starts, depending on what side of the fence you sit. Dubs, what are you thinking? Who's going down?
Earlier on, I thought that it was going to be Crystal Palace. So I don't know if alongside Burnley and the Blades. So I'll stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
The point deduction thing is going to play a big factor.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is.
No. It really is. Like if Everton, say Everton get there, and this often happens on appeals, right? They'll get that deficit cut by 5 points. So they'd be up 23 points.
It's just like longer being arrested for the banana in the grocery store happened on appeal.
Oh my God. Well done. That's
really good.
Finally, she's back.
So they get 5 points, they gain 5 points, they're 23, they lose another 10 for the other charges. Yeah. 20. You know, they might be okay. It's so much as in them. I mean, I still think, Burnley, Blades, I'm going with Luton as well, I think, in the end. It won't be quite there. The depth isn't quite there. But I want to see them survive. But I mean, listen, Forest, obviously on the cusp, but they're making signings this January. Brentford, they'll be fine. I mean, it's been a poor season for Brentford, but I can't imagine them being sucked into that race. Although 4 points out, maybe they're in the race right now.
Yeah.
And Palace, I just look at that Palace team, and Roy aside, there's such talent. AZ was incredible yesterday. Alisse, these are like top quality players. It's happened before. Oh my God. Brilliant. It's happened before, these guys, players like this have gone down, but I don't know. I don't see it at this point.
And this leads me to my next question after this. If you are Everton and you're a guy like Jordan Pickford, who's playing on the national team, playing, they've got Euro coming up. What does that do? And I was wondering for Craig, you have a shitty season. Is it a chance to redeem yourself, even though he's not having the shitty season, but having that horrible kind of every day going in, getting picked apart by your local newspaper, getting picked about. Is it a good thing to go play on the national team, Jimmy, when you've had an average club team? Amy, like, hey, is it hard to turn that around?
Well, a little bit, but it's different too, because I think with England and the bigger countries, Italy, Spain, they've got such a massive player pool that if you're not performing, then you're not really going to get selected. Whereas countries like Canada and places that are very similar to us that have a smaller pool, if you're not playing well, you've still got a chance of still getting into the national team squad, because there isn't much else to pick from.
But you look at Southgate, often hasn't been on club form. He likes you or he doesn't.
Harry
Calvin
McGuire.
Phillips being a prime example.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jordan Henderson.
But he's in the squad. But I mean, look, you're right in what you're saying. But with Calvin Phillips, no, it's true. You're right. I'll give you that. But I mean, there's such a demand for him as well. Massive demand for the player, right? Because they know how good he is. He's just in a team, right? He would play for every other Premier League team. But because he's at Man City, it's difficult for him to get into the side. That's why he's linked with Bayern Munich. He's linked with everybody. But
Pickford's been with a bang average team for most of his career. Mm-hmm. In Everton.
No, he is. But he's getting tested week in and week out.
But that's a question though, right? That's a really good point, Craig. As a goalkeeper, do you want the keeper that's facing tons of shots, right? And is hot and is doing all he can to keep his team in some kind of contention? Or do you want the guy like Edison facing one shot every three games?
Well, I think it just comes down to performance and doing your job. It doesn't make the results are irrelevant to him being picked for England. It's whether or not he's doing his job and doing it well. We've seen that with international goalkeepers. I mean, back in the day, I mean, when Peter Shilton, I think he was playing for Derby County, you know, not the greatest side in the world, but fantastic goalkeeper and no question the number one for England. So I'm not sure it really matters. I mean, if they were relegated, I would think that there were these two things. He would want to be playing in the top flight if possible, as well as at that point, Everton would be looking probably to offload him because of the money he's making if they were relegated, although the parachute payment would help. But there would be some decisions that would have to be made by Everton at that point and to see what the offers would be for Pickford to let him go if they were relegated. Yeah, which they hopefully
are not. But it's difficult, too, because with England, they don't really produce great goalkeepers.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I mean, I played with Robert Green when we were in the championship and he was in the England squad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's true.
Who are we looking at for that kind of pool for goalkeepers that Southgate's pulling from for the number one? Is Ramsdale still in that discussion?
I don't know if he is. Doubt it. Nick Pope is number two at this point, right? Not Ramsdale.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Johnston, three, I would think. I think he's out. He's just not playing.
The most important thing, even if you're in a poor side, is you have to be playing. And I think that's where it's going to hurt Ramsdale at this point because he's not playing. Mm-hmm.
Do you see Liverpool? They've got three goalkeeper coaches, by the way, three. Taffarel, the Brazilian legend, he's now going to double dip. He's going to coach at Brazil as well as Liverpool. I was concerned at first that is there another coach leaving with Klopp? So, Taffarel's double dipping, which as a Brazilian professional footballer, he's probably well used to. but there's a great. I just used a story for that line. That's the only reason I found this story. I thought, that's a good line. But in The Athletic this morning, there's a quote from Klopp saying, when they signed Taffarel, they said, "We really want to be a proper goalkeeping school in world football. We want to build our own philosophy in goalkeeping because we all agree it's its own game, Craig."
Yeah, he's absolutely right on. And I remember even going back in the 80s and just not figuring that these guys couldn't figure it out. Like as far as you're on your own and you didn't even have full-time goalkeeper coach back in the 80s. That sort of came along, but they were part-time guys and didn't realize that it is a sport amongst a sport. It's a very individual skill that's completely separate from the rest of the 10 on the field.
Hey, Wonga, we have a 9:30, right?
Yeah, we do.
We should get going then.
Yeah, we should. So before we go, I just want to give a shout out to James Sharman, who is on global television because of his blood giving. The vampire of Pickering, as we call him. He wants everyone's blood. Today. but this is a good thing. It'll get us thinking about what charities we would want to support. Each month I give money to CAMH for mental health. I think Sharms, we've all choose one and maybe we build a community around that. Plus, I got a community. I got a gift, Sharms.
You have? Yep. It arrived at my pie factory store yesterday because they didn't know what was addressed.
Your basement.
The basement, yes. Yes. With all the underage kids, I'm having slave labor making pies.
So another charity about the fight around child labor.
He sent we'll do an unboxing video of it. He's a huge fan of Wonga. His name's Jardeep. And he wrote a lovely card, sent some wicked stickers, by the way, some football stickers. I'm gonna show those as well. But when we see you next, Wonga, which will be next week or so probably, ahead of maybe during the summit 2.0.
Yeah,
we'll do it then, and we'll video it. And he sent you a little gift to say thank you for all your hard work and influencing and I don't know, encouraging him to learn about all things football, which is concerning that he's chosen Wonga out of all of us.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You got the Hall of Famers, the ex pros, got JC, myself, and you got
ex-convict,
banana thief.
And I just wanted to say, our Carrie Ryan, I think maybe when she was traveling back from Hawaii, found a Jeff Cole looky-likey at the airport. And speaking of looky-likeys,
Whoa, I'm waiting for it.
Speaking of them,
have you spoken to Jesse about
doppelgangers? When people look the same, but it's not the same person.
We need an intro for this, don't we? Last time
there it is. Oh shit! It won't work.
No.
Why is this not working? Hold on, hold on. I'm so sorry.
Let's do it on Friday, shall we?
Yeah, do it on Friday.
What a teaser. What a teaser.
Promo. I love
it. It's going to be a letdown now.
No, it's not even really that good of a segment.
We're going to build it up.
We've got to go. We've got a meeting. We've got to go. Listen, TonyBet.ca, thank you so much. Make sure you wager all your hard-earned money on today's Premier League games. Big games, Liverpool-Chelsea, for example, today. You can find those games in Fubo TV. FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Subscribe. Get on there. We'll see you on Friday. And don't forget to listen to the broadcast. It came out on Tuesday. Apparently, it's amazing. I'm assuming it is. I'll listen today.
You won't listen to it. Maybe other people will.
Yes. There's the promo.
That's the tagline.
You won't listen to it, but maybe someone else will.
All right, jumping. Keep buying newspapers.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
I'm so sorry, Amy. It's there.
Okay. All right. Gotta go.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.